Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Great.
Everybody
choking on their coffee. Right? Gentlemen, for this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, we want to continue our study of holiness. And as of late, our hot air balloon ride has landed in the time frame of the New Testament, and so we've dropped down our altitude quite a bit to kind of hover over, really specifically, the character of Jesus. Right? And when we think about holiness, we say from the Old Testament, particularly through the Exodus, and the journey through the wilderness, that one of the ways that the ancient Israelites understood God as being holy, and that we're called to be holy as, or God is holy, is that God provided and God protects. And so we looked at, most recently, some of the ways that Jesus, being the Holy One, as the angel says to Mary, all right, and being the Son of God, that if that be true, then we ought to be able to see holiness in him. And so we looked at ways that Jesus provides and ways that Jesus protects. All right, remember that? All right, listening audience, everybody's nodding their head yes. Yes. Gentlemen, it's radio.
Okay. Yes.
That being said, what we really wrestled with the most, all right, and I think most of our listening audience would probably concur with this, is one of the ways that Jesus provides protection or encourages us to feel protected comes out of the Sermon on the Mount, right? Chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. And so if I could have somebody read those verses 43 through 48, we'll take a look at this. All right?
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Okay. What jumps out at you? What's your first responses to that little pericope?
Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Yeah, I think on a previous program, and I know even in our group, yeah, that we need to understand in the Greek language what we translate as perfect should probably be best understood as complete, not flawless. Okay? All right? We're not called to be flawless, but we are called to be complete, whole. Right?
We're called to be like our heavenly Father.
All right, and so, yeah, called to be like our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, is Jesus giving you a way that makes you like the Heavenly Father? And, yeah, you're not in your, it's radio. You have to
yes.
speak on the radio.
I believe Jesus is calling me to be like my Heavenly Father.
Okay, how so, young man? Is he calling you to be like a Heavenly Father?
To learn how to love. Love my enemies. I don't know if I have it. There's no one I can think of that who's wronged me to such an extent that I would consider them an enemy. But if they did, I seriously doubt at this present time that I'm in a place in my walk where I'd be able to say that, you know, I love you, even though you hate me. I haven't really mastered even the loving myself thing yet. It's something I'm working on every day. So I gotta see myself truthfully. It's like I'm not there yet, but you know I definitely want to work on that, and I hope I'm on the right track.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
I'd say that it offers like a juxtaposition because the world says you know hate your enemies. That's how the world says. You know, everybody growing up, you know, you have your family and your friends, and if anybody's opposed to your clique, then you know it's war. They're enemies. But the kingdom, the new way, is different, and that's hard. And even he says that they have heard, so even the Jews were thinking, you know.
Yeah, their old way was, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's so ingrained, well, in me growing up that, yeah, you hate your enemy. Or even America, if we're going to war, you hate your enemy, or you hate your enemy. And it's just part of life. But to hear this new teaching that it's a better way, and it's better for them, and it's better for you if you love your enemy and pray for them, you know, that's hard. That's hard. It was a hard change for me, because I did have enemies. So, yeah.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Initial responses.
I don't know, just, yeah, that love thing, just, gotta love everybody the same. Like, he talks about, you know, it's the rain, the sunshine, the just, I'm the unjust. God loves everybody equal, it's all the same. He doesn't pick or choose or delegate. I'm gonna be cool with this person, I'm gonna love you a little more, I'm gonna do this. I mean, he shows a little more attention at times to others when it's needed the most, but he still loves the same, doesn't matter who you are. So we have that same thing. You know, we, in this world, we pick and choose who we love, or how we love, there's conditions to it. Maybe if you buy me something, or, oh, the girl might like me if I drive this, or I look like this. It's conditional love. It's unconditional love. It's radical love. It doesn't make sense. You just got to do it. You can't put words to it. It's just the way you react and treat people. Even when they're disrespecting you, still just pray for them. Love on them still. It doesn't make sense. I was saying kill them kindness. You know, they work all the time. But the main best thing is not to say nothing. You know, that's still showing love. When somebody's trying to put hate on you, you show them a different way. You just taught them something. They walk away. Hey, he didn't react. Hey, I didn't get him like I thought I was going to get him. You know? So it's even, it's different. Sure, not of this world. That's the against the grain struggle of it all. That stuff comes from this. You're doing something every single day that's opposite what you're raised to do or what you see. That's the hardest thing. That's the struggle. That's the fight. So the enemy is within me. It's me. Only I can stop me. You can't get me. You know, I have to allow you to let those disrespectful words or calling me out my name take me to that point. And then I just give the power to you. So now you're my God. Source of all power no longer. Hey, I'm not his. I let Mark have it because he called me a name or he got not put my hands on him. Now he's my God. He controls me. My movements, my actions, my future, my freedom. Now. That's what I love.
Good. Yeah.
He just doesn't love. He takes care of them, the just and the unjust. He loves us. Taking care of us is the same as loving us. So he's taking care of the believers and non-believers.
Yes.
I just thought about the leper, about how, you know, they're treated bad back then, you know, and, you know, couldn't be around society, you know, they're kind of like seen as an enemy. Or even today, like the AIDS victim or some other stigma attached to someone, like maybe with mental health issues, you know, we don't love them as much as we should. We see them as different. But God sees it, he puts the sun and the rain on the same. And everybody. I just thought that came to my mind.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I have one enemy. One enemy. That's all I have. I'm pretty lucky I don't have more than that, because some of the things I've done, I should have more. But I only have one. And he destroyed my family. He destroyed my heart. And I do hate this man. I hate him. And it would be so hard to pray for him, but I did. I prayed for him.
Good for you.
Good.
Yeah, good.
I got a little story. When I was growing up, man, I you know, we've all been through a lot. And the one point in my life, actually multiple occasions, I became a victim of sexual abuse. One of those offenders happened to be my older brother. You know, it was on a current or a reoccurring consistent basis. Now, I don't think he hated me, necessarily. I think the Old Testament talks about your enemy is one who hates, and the New Testament is opponent. So, he definitely was against me. I don't know if it was a complete mental, intellectual acknowledgement of it, but, so I grew up, you know, knowing a different side of life, and at one point it was even to the point of, when he stopped, I don't even know why. It was like a weird sense of abandonment for things that I didn't understand. Still, for the rest of my life and to this day, loving him. And, you know, I had to, without even acknowledging or knowing it, I started learning about what God forgiveness is and what Christ forgiveness and love in that sense is. I made the starting realization that I have always done that. Because he was probably the biggest enemy I had for the longest time. Screwed a lot of things up in my mind. which in a sense makes life for me harder now because there isn't too many people that can do that kind of damage to me on a daily basis. You don't run into things where you live with somebody who's supposed to take care of you, but they harm you on a constant, not in that way. In a social standard, in an emotional standard, all these standards of living, I can't think of anything that's more damaging to somebody. You know, I buried a son, and I don't think that's gonna leave as deep a wounds as that did, as my sexual abuse. But part of that is I've come to realize that because in my mind, I'm so bullheaded, I have this higher standard of what an enemy is. I don't have too many of them. I have people I don't like and people that dislike me, but it's whatever. It's I'm called to that. Those are just my neighbors. You know, that's what happens. Look at the, it's feuds in neighborhoods. Those aren't your enemies. They're feuds. So I've come to this weird point in my life where I think some people consider me arrogant because I like to talk good about myself or things I do. But there's a scripture in Corinthians that said, boast in the Lord. And if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. So I do. I talk good. I'd rather boast than roast. I talk good. I do talk about people sometimes. And I'm not even going to say that I regret it. Because if I did, I wouldn't do it in the first place. It's just part of something I do and someone who I am. But I like to just shine a light more on the good things in life that are happening to me. Because loving your enemy to me is something different. Now I'm my enemy because I set such a high standard to what an enemy is. I really don't believe anybody. I believe there's people out there in the world that can do serious physical damage, serious emotional harm to me, but I haven't come across them. So I'm the one who does the most damage to my life. So when I boast, I'm not opposing myself. I'm not my enemy, at least for that moment. And the biggest setback it is how other people receive it. And I still feel like I gotta justify it. But, so loving your enemy to me is just something I guess I've just naturally done. Not that I'm better, I didn't even know it. Wish I didn't have to.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. We're kind of wrapping things up, running out of time here. So in closing, a couple things we'll point out here. Jesus is kind of calling them out on who they've already predetermined as their enemies. Oh. So he kind of opens this up to the possibility, do we even have enemies? Oh. All right? Because we know if we were to look earlier, he's talking to folks of Palestine, right? Jews. He does talk about Gentiles, right? He talks about tax collectors. So he says, look, I recognize that you claim that you have these enemies, you know, your fellow Jews who may be collecting taxes from you for Rome, et cetera, et cetera. We looked at the other four movements at the time, right? We had the Essenes, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, and the Zealots as movements to try to, Jewish movements to try to reestablish holiness post-exile, right? And Jesus comes with this fifth movement that is very different. Out of those other four movements, you really see that you have these enemies, whether they be Rome, or maybe they are these religious, and you're trying to establish a holy nation, which means Gentiles aren't included. So he recognizes that they have already predetermined who their enemy is. And he says, I don't care who they are, all right? Because this is for all nations. Gentlemen, I thank you very much for your comments and your feedback and sharing with our listening audience your insights on how the Spirit's touched you regarding loving your enemy. So until we meet next time, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course, our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.